Matthew chapter 8 is where we're going to read tonight. Matthew 8. Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray that the power of your word would arrest us tonight. The Holy Spirit would take this inspired truth and use it as that two-edged sword, that scalpel, dividing both soul and spirit, bone and marrow, and the exposer and discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Come, Lord, shine your light upon us now, we pray. May we see the power of the word of Christ in this place tonight and in all of our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to speak to you on that subject, the power of the word of Christ. Now, before we read from this chapter, I want to quote a verse from Psalm 107, verse 20. And it says this: He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions or from death or from the grave. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from death and the grave. So I want you to think about that as an introduction to what we're about to read. We're going to look at several stories that contain within them examples of the power of the word of Jesus Christ. So that's what I want you to focus on. There's a lot in these stories, but we're going to read several of them. But I want you to look out for the times that it refers to Jesus' word or Jesus speaking. Okay? Chapter 8 of Matthew, verse 1. When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Now remember that question for a moment. Is Christ willing to make a leper clean? Is he willing to answer affirmatively and inquire of healing? Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Now another story. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word. You see it? Speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I am also a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. And just down to verse 16. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word. And he healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Don't let anybody tell you that those verses from Isaiah 53 are not fulfilled through the ministry of healing. There you have it in black and white. Jesus himself said it. It's in the gospel in response to what Jesus did. Then down to verse 23, another couple of miracles. Now when he got into a boat, his disciples followed him, and suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. But he said to them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked, rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, "Who can this be, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" When he had come to the other side of the country of the Gerasenes, there met him two demon-possessed men coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce, so that no one could pass that way. And suddenly they cried out, saying, "What have we to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time?" Now, a good way off from them there was a herd of many swine feeding. So the demons begged him, saying, "If you cast us out, permit us to go away and into the herd of swine." Now, I love this. And he said to them, "Go." That's it. Just one word with two letters. Go. Didn't go through a whole formula and rigmarole. Just go. So when they had come out, they went into the herd of swine, and suddenly the whole herd of swine ran violently down the steep place into the sea and perished in the water. Then those who kept them fled, and they went away into the city and told everything, including what had happened to the demon-possessed men. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they begged him to depart from their region. Isn't that incredible? The whole city was in opposition to this supernatural act of wonder that the Lord Jesus performed for these two demon-possessed men. So the verse I read at the very beginning, Psalm 107, verse 20, "He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions." There's another story that's not in our text. You can read it in the Gospel of John, chapter 11. Mary and Martha, it's their darkest day, and they've lost their sibling, their brother, Lazarus. And Mary went to the grave, and Jesus met her, and Mary told Jesus, "If you had been here, our brother would not have died. This would not have happened." It says that Jesus stood by the grave. Isn't this wonderful that we have a Savior who is touched with our brokenness? He knows and understands what it's like to lose a loved one. He knows what it's like for that terminal diagnosis. But he stands and he weeps. He weeps because of what death had done to one of his best friends. But then he tells the sisters, "Roll the stone away." And they object. By this time he stinks because it's been 4 days since he's died. And we read in John 11, verse 43 and 44, when Jesus spoke, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth, bound hand, foot, and grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said, "Loose him and let him go." That's the power of the word of Christ. Now, we've seen it in, it must be nearly half a dozen miracles, not quite, but quite a few miracles. And I hope that I'm not wanting you to lose yourself in the minutiae of the details. I just want you to see this theme throughout them all. The power of the word of Christ. An old preacher once said, if Jesus hadn't said, "Lazarus, come forth," if he had just said, "Come forth," the whole graveyard would have come back to life and risen from the dead because of the power of the word of Christ. Ecclesiastes 8 verse 4 says, "Where the word of a king is, there is power." And our Lord Jesus Christ is king. He's King of kings and he's Lord of lords, and he's no ordinary king. He said to his disciples before he went back to heaven, after he was crucified and rose again from the dead, "All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth." All power. He's got it all. They marveled at him, astonished at his teaching, it says in Luke chapter 4, for his word was with power. When he was working in a house, praying and healing people, it says, the power of the Lord was present there to heal them. Wherever he was, whatever he said, whatever he did, was infused with supernatural power. Why? Well, there's power in the word of Christ because Jesus Christ is the word of God. Now, if we were to go to John 1, verse 1 to 3, it's John's nativity story, but he's presenting the Savior of the world, the universe. And he's not starting at the manger, he's starting in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, the Logos, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and nothing was made that has been made without him. Do you know that this baby that we worship in a manger, he pre-existed his incarnation as the living Logos of God, and he actually created the whole world, the whole universe. There is nothing in existence that Jesus Christ did not create. He did not begin in a manger. He did not begin at the conception of the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin. He didn't have a beginning. He's the only begotten Son of God eternally. You know, do you know this? And a word, you know what it is, a word, don't you? It's an expression of what you're thinking and what you're feeling. And when God wanted us to know what he was thinking and what he was feeling toward his creation, he sent his Son, who is the Word. Now, this is vital. You really have to remember this. Jesus Christ is the brightness of God's glory. He's the express image of God's person. And it says he upholds all things by the word of his power. He not only created everything, he sustains it all, so much so that if you were to go a couple of millimeters near the sun as a planet, would all be burned up. And if we were to come a few centimeters or whatever away from it, we would all freeze to death. And he has been upholding this planet, spinning around in space for thousands and maybe more than that years. By the word of his power, he has held it all together. That's Jesus Christ we're talking about here. You know, he is God's heart. He is God's mind. And if you want to know what he thinks about you personally, God, what he feels about you in the depth of his being, you need to look at Jesus. You need to read the Gospels. You need to hear his words. You need to see his actions. You need to catch his intonation as he says what he says. You need to read his mannerisms as he acts how he does. And as you're looking at these stories, you will see this combination that he's like man. The poet said, like man he walked, like God he talked. His words were oracles, his deeds were miracles. Of God, the true expression of man, the finest specimen. Full-orbed humanity crowned with deity. No trace of infirmity, no taint of iniquity. Behold the man, behold thy God. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail incarnate deity. It's a mystery. But we know because he walked among us that he was the God-man. And he expressed the will of God toward mankind. He expressed the mind and the heart of God, the soul of God toward us, the heart of God toward his creation. Do you know what that means? Here's what it means. When a leper comes to him, verse 1 to 4 of chapter 8 of Matthew, and says, if you're willing, you can make me clean. He comes back and says, I am willing. He's revealing the heart of God to heal people. And the leper asked him, and the leper experienced the power of God to heal. And of course, we're not so familiar with leprosy, are we? But it made people ceremonially and socially unclean. In these days, it was an ugly thing to look at. A person would be covered in sores. Their joints became deformed, a bit like gout. And his legs would have looked like the legs of an old battered horse or something. You know, grotesque. Someone said it was the utmost corruption of the human body this side of the grave. And these lepers had to tear their clothes, indicating grief. They were to cry, unclean, unclean, in case someone came near to them and contracted the disease. And God often uses this as a picture of sin and our brokenness in humanity. And it's pretty ugly, isn't it? But this man came to the right place. Verse 2 says that he worshipped Jesus. He fell at his feet and he worshipped him. He acknowledged who Christ was. He looked to him. He prayed the right prayer. He reached out to Jesus. If you're willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus answered him. Because the Bible very clearly says that God demonstrated his love toward us, Romans 5, verse 8, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for it, for our sins. And if he gave him up for us all, listen, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Now, I'm not saying any of us has everything here and now, because we don't. But what I am saying is this, that in the cross, Jesus Christ purchased our complete, utter redemption, salvation, deliverance, and healing. And it will be worked out one day completely in the eternal state when we're all in our resurrected bodies and the believers are with Jesus forever. But there's more can be realized now than we're experiencing. I believe that. Believe it from my heart. My own life, I believe it. And I'm not experiencing it. But I believe it. And that's why I'm not interested in talking about what God's not doing or what the Holy Spirit's not doing. I'm interested in talking about what the Bible says the Holy Spirit should be doing. And Christ's word brought the power to heal this leper because he asked him. He just asked him. Now this might sound a very basic, redundant question. But have you really asked him specifically? Some of you have, I know, and you haven't got an answer yet. But it would surprise you, the people, when you ask them, have you asked God, actually say, well, not really. Or not specifically. And we are often struck by a condition called passivity. And a lot of Christians have imbibed this certain doctrine of God's sovereignty that we just sit about and wait till he zaps us or strikes us supernaturally, but it's not our prerogative to go to him about anything. Now, I'll tell you, I believe God's sovereignty, but I believe that God has actually bound himself. If you know the Bible and read the Bible, he has actually bound himself to answer prayer. I mean, what's the point of it all if he doesn't answer it? Like, this takes me to the fair times. You know, why do we bother if K, Sarah, Sarah, whatever will be, that it's fait accompli, and this fatalism that is taught in churches around is the sovereignty of God? It's not true. There is a sovereign God, and there is a sovereignty of God. But the miracle of the sovereignty of God is that we can each make our choices, and yet God can bring it all together for his good and purposes in the end. The miracle of sovereignty is not in micromanaging everything and forcing us to ask for what he wants. Anyway, I'm going on a rant now. But there's something else. Power to heal the centurion. This next story. And this is remarkable because this man thought he was too bad. I don't know whether if you're a person that reads the Bible, you've ever noticed. There's not one centurion, I think, in the Bible. Every one of them, I think, perhaps, is seen in a good light within Scripture. They're presented as admirable people. And he says, no. Jesus says, I'll come and heal your servant now. He says, no, you're not worthy to come under my roof. But listen, the centurion understood the power of the word of Christ. He says, just speak the word and that'll be enough. Who was it? Stephen praying at the beginning about Brian in America, he talked about how distance doesn't matter, and this centurion understood that. You just speak the word here, and because there's no distance of the power and the voice of God. You know, maybe you're sitting here and you wish your son or your daughter was here, or your husband or wife, but you couldn't get them, or some friend, but why not pray, believing that God doesn't need them to be in a wee mission hall somewhere, you know? God's up there thinking, oh, if they could only get to Loch Brickland. Huh? Oh, someone on the TV tonight, they didn't go. Well, maybe next month. We'll try our best, get the angels all together, and we'll get them to Loch Brickland. God's not restricted. Your loved one could be in a bar tonight, some club, watching sport, in the house, watching a film or a soap. I believe the God of heaven can speak with a word that heals them. And it doesn't matter how bad they are. This man thought he was too bad. He wasn't like the leper. The leper was really holding on to God, and that's what we need to do. But he felt unworthy. But he knew what authority was. And he even said that. I have people under me and I have people over me. I have to do what Caesar says. But my servant is to do what I say. And I know when I tell them to go, they have to go. Or when I get the order from headquarters to go, I have to go. And he understood if Christ said the word, it had to happen. Do you believe that tonight? If he's given you a promise, if he's given you a word, it has to happen. And then there was power to heal the shipwrecked crew. They were hopeless. Before that, we read just verse 16, 17, all manner of diseased, demon-possessed people, he cast them out with a word, and he healed all who were sick to fulfill Isaiah 53. But then it goes on to this potential shipwreck situation. And you could be in one of those tonight, metaphorically speaking. You're out on the waves and your boat's out of control. Maybe it's a cyclone of sin. You're going round in a spiral. Can't control the addiction or the compulsions that you have. It's engulfing and destroying your life. And there's so many people like that. Maybe it's life's journey has brought you near the rocks and your vessel's about to smash to pieces. Maybe it's all sorts of trials, tribulations, family problems. Maybe it's your health tonight and you think you're beyond hope. All I can encourage you to do tonight is do what those disciples did and cry to Jesus Christ for help. Now they said, do you not care that we perish? And he rebuked them for their little faith. But it says he stood in that boat and then he rebuked the waves and the storm. And the word for rebuke there is the same word that is used, at least in Mark's Gospel, we're in Matthew. In Mark's Gospel, it's the same word, probably the same here, that he uses rebuking the demonic spirits. And I believe this was a demonic storm. It was a demonic storm that was trying to stop him going over to those two demonized men. That's the next story. And they were trophies of the devil. And you know, the devil can do that. He can disrupt. And you can believe in the sovereignty of God. But that doesn't mean ever you'll have a smooth sailing through your life. Jesus didn't have a smooth sailing. Why should you? Think you're going to be immune to the devil firing his fiery darts at you? Did it to Jesus. The miracle is he took his authority as the word of God. And you can take your authority with the word of God. And you can stand and you can rebuke and say, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. What does it say? The calm came. The wind and the sea, and there was great calm, verse 27, and they marveled, saying, who can this be? Even the winds and the sea obey him. Who is this? And then there's power to heal the demoniacs who couldn't help themselves. And this is beautiful because, you know, there's little indications in these other stories that we've read tonight that faith was instrumental in the process. Christ spoke the word, but then he kind of says, but you put your faith. You know, the leper asked, the centurion had faith to believe in the authority of the word of Christ. But these two boys who were possessed by the devil, they had no faith at all. They couldn't even cry out to Christ. They were so bound by the power of Satan that they couldn't do anything. And there are people tonight in our world, and maybe even in your family circle, in your peer group, in your neighborhood, in your workplace, in your sporting club, and you think they're beyond Jesus Christ, this story gives me great hope. You see, if Jesus speaks the word, and isn't it amazing that the stories that we read tonight seem to get darker and more diabolical until we meet these two guys running around madmen, you know, possessed by the devil. And Jesus uses one word. Go. Now, I've done a wee bit of deliverance ministry in my time, and sometimes I get tired of it. Am I allowed to say this? Weary. And, you know, I'm not going into too much, but I long for the day when all I need to say is, and maybe it's today. Maybe it's today for you. Maybe there have been intractable problems that you have given up in the face of and thought, I'm never going to crack this. This has been here since I was 13 or whatever. And I'm 53 now or whatever. And I'm not going to overcome it now. I'm telling you now, if Jesus says go, you will. Such power in the word of Christ. It says in 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 5, our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost. And I think, you know, in a lot of quarters, including from this preacher, the gospel is often in word only and devoid of power. We believe in the power of the word of God. But Paul talked about the demonstration of the Holy Spirit's power in the preaching of the word, so that people's faith would not be in the wisdom of man or man's reputations or man's theology, but their faith would be in God, who is a God of power. You ask the leper, he'll tell you about the power of the word of Christ. You ask the unworthy centurion and his sick servant, and they'll tell you about the power of Christ. You ask the shipwrecked disciples, they'll tell you about the power of his word. And these two devil-possessed, hopeless men, helpless. But why don't you ask him yourself, Jesus, if there's power in his word? I don't know if you're a Christian or not, but I hope you become one tonight. And I don't know if you have a need for healing, but I hope you come and seek prayer tonight. And I don't know if you're in bondage to some compulsion, a sin, a habit. I don't know whether you've been dabbling in your past in occult or witchcraft or necromancy or sorcery or divination, fortune telling, all those kind of things. And or maybe your mommy did or your granny did, and you're bound by something tonight and you're oppressed by the devil. I don't know whether your mind or your emotions are in the grip of debilitating fears and anxieties and stress. I don't know what's affecting or afflicting your body. It could be infirmity. It could be attacks of the enemy or just normal biological sickness, physiological sickness. I don't care what it is. The power of the word of Christ can heal you, can save you, can deliver you. Let's pray. He sent his word and healed them. And delivered them from all their destructions or their grief or death. I just want to ask, while heads are bowed and eyes closed, please, if there's anybody here tonight and you are not a Christian, you've never had your sins forgiven, you've never taken a step of faith to be born again, no confidence that you have Jesus as your Savior and He's Lord of your life, would you like to become a Christian tonight? Is there anyone? Now, there might even be one person that that applies to, but I want to give an opportunity, if there's even one here, to give an invitation. If you would like to trust Jesus Christ tonight as your Savior, would you raise your hand just where you're seated? Is there anyone? Or if you are not sure, you don't have that confidence and assurance that you're right with the Lord. You may be religious or you're churchgoer. Not necessarily a bad thing, of course, but you don't have the confidence within you. Is there anyone? You'd raise your hand just now. Are there any backsliders in the gathering? We call backsliders people who once walked with the Lord Jesus, but you've grown cold for whatever reason. Maybe you've doubted the Lord or the power of the Lord. Maybe you're disappointed because you feel He let you down when you were praying and you thought you had a promise. And that can happen. Any backsliders, and you would, but you want to come back to the Lord. You know there's power with Him. Is there anyone? Mightn't be any, as I've said, but if you're there, just raise your hand. We're not going to embarrass you or bring you up to the front or anything like that. We're just going to pray for you. Is there anyone? Okay. And who of you, we're going to have healing prayer up at the front. There's going to be the team. And I would encourage you to come and get prayer for them. I'll not be praying with as many people tonight at all. I want you to understand that I'm actually going for prayer myself. So don't get them away or I'll run you down. But seriously, these people have been praying for folk and seeing folk healed. I pray for very few folk really on Sunday nights. But if you have a need in your body, your mind, your soul, a spiritual need, a physical need, a mental, emotional need, would you express that need even right now in the presence of God by raising your hand? Yeah. You can put it down again, just as an expression of your need. Bring it to the Lord now. Bring it to the Lord now and pray to Him now. Bring that need to the Lord right now. Don't worry about the phone. Just pray to the Lord. Worry about the phone if it's your phone. Lord, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your word. And this isn't an old dusty book full of irrelevancy and antiquity. This is the living word of the living God who revealed Himself in humanity in the incarnation, to become flesh that flesh might be nailed to a cross in our place, to bear our curse. As Matthew said, He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. By His stripes we are healed. He bore our infirmities and our sorrows, and by His stripes we are healed. Lord, we believe that. We believe whatever needed to happen for us to be redeemed, body, soul, and spirit, it happened at the cross. And we cry to You, not because we are good people, for we're not, or not because we know how to pray, because we don't really, and not because we even have enough faith. And we want faith, and we do have faith. But we cry to You because Jesus paid it all. Jesus purchased this. Your Son died that we might live. We might be saved. We might be healed and delivered. And so we ask You, Lord, because of the cross, because of Jesus, that You do miracles in this place. And nobody will get the glory, only You. We'll do our best, Lord, to make sure of that. We'll do our best. Sure, anybody with any two brain cells banging together would know that we can't heal anybody or help anybody. We have our own needs ourselves. But you're able, Lord, more than able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think or even imagine. And our faith is towards you. We're looking to you, Lord. Our eyes are towards you. Do miracles in this place tonight. For your glory we pray. Amen.